Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Happy Halloween. That's how dedicated we are. We podcast on holidays. That's right. We're the best. Tony, how are you doing? How was your Halloween? Was it good?
I mean, my little one's pretty young, so it didn't last very long. We just did our street. He had a good time. And the neighbors were giving out a lot of little toys instead of just candy.
Oh,
so that was good.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah. So it was good. I think there was a lot of celebrating at my school last week as well. A lot of people really into dressing up and costumes and stuff.
Hmm. All right. Well, that sounds pretty cool. Sounds neat.
Do you know what I dressed as?
Oh, you dressed up. What did you dress up as?
I dressed as myself in 2010.
That's pretty.
Which is the last time I bought most of my clothing.
Well, there you go.
I was like, this was me 10 years ago, guys.
I did not dress up. I was a stick in the mud. My wife dressed up as Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
Is that it, Spider-Woman? My son was a slice of pizza, and my daughter did not partake. She felt she was too old, even though she's in third grade. She was too old. But I'm like, okay, whatever. Anyway, I think next year she'll go. My son had a great time, and there were a lot of, you know, we've been living in an apartment. This is our first Halloween at in a house. And it was kind of a nice feeling, you know, because in an apartment, nobody trick-or-treated. Nope. We would have to go to it was weird. We bought candy one year, and even the apartment complex was like, if you want people to come to your door to trick-or-treat, here's a pumpkin. Put this pumpkin on your door, like a little paper pumpkin. And we got one, right. And nobody came. Not one person came. So, and that was kind of that's what happened for 5 years. Nobody came to trick or treat. So it was anyway. But anyway, it was successful. Everybody had a good time, lots of fun. Got to hang out with some neighbors. It was cool.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
good. Yeah. So, before we get into, we have a great agenda, by the way. I want to talk about Facebook. I know you don't really care, but I think it's some interesting things that are going on with just these.
Whenever you're ready to get into it. My opinions really are mostly with the name. So just bothers me, and I'll explain why it bothers me. But
yeah.
Patrick, you have a bullet point here on our agenda, though. Did you skip it?
I didn't. I'm coming back to it. I can come back to it. I'm teasing.
Go through. I'm messing it up.
No, that's all right. You want to talk about salespeople and policies that schools should have, and you're going to give us an update on the new classrooms because you've been kind of telling us that journey, and it has been quite the journey. But first, Tony, what am I drinking?
Is that a Pabst Blue Ribbon?
No.
What am I drinking?
But I made a little jingle for what am I drinking. You want to hear that one more time?
What am I drinking?
Yeah, that was a.
That's pretty good.
Thanks. That was about 2 minutes of hard work right there. That's what that was.
What are you drinking? Do I get three guesses?
You'll never get it because it's an Indiana beer, and
it's not a Cathead vodka, is it?
It is not. But
what's up with those like little cans of Cathead people drink?
I don't know what that is. I can look.
Well, now that I've said it, you're going to see it everywhere. It's like it looks like sparkling water, but I know that Cathead company makes vodka. So it's some kind of sparkling vodka drink, maybe. I can look it up, but we don't do that. We don't do that when we podcast. We just think about stuff and hope it's true.
It's a podcast. Yeah, of course.
We look up things that we're like, if we're reviewing something or if it's real, you know, about work. But this kind of stuff, I'm just going to theorize. Cathead vodka is sparkling water with vodka in it. That's my theory. Maybe I'm wrong.
I like it. I'm going with it.
Okay, it's an Indiana beer.
Yeah.
And is it called Hoosier IPA.
It is not. It is an IPA, but it's not a Hoosier. It's not Hoosier. I don't know if there is a brewery named Hoosier. There probably is.
Oh.
This is a brewery way up north in Indiana. We're talking very close to Michigan, kind of a deal. It's called in Munster, Indiana. I think that's close to Michigan. But it's called Three Floyds. Is the distillery, the brewery, and this is the Barbarian Haze IPA. And Three Floyds has very, I don't know, eye catching designs on their cans. I don't always like them, but I do always like their beer.
So I don't know if it's a national rule or a Texas rule, but when I was in Texas, I was doing a brewery tour, and they let us know that in Texas, it's not required to put ingredients on a beer can, but I think that's across the U.S. You don't have to put the ingredients.
Oh,
and,
okay.
This guy was like, well, why don't you want to put the ingredients? And the girl was like, so we can decorate our cans more. Because this place we went, they had actually really nice cans, like, and labels and stuff.
But, so I just real quick, Munster is not close to not close to Michigan. It's not too far from Michigan, but it's really close to Illinois and Chicago. It's like in the top left-hand corner of Indiana. So it's like really close to Lake Michigan and like almost on the border of Illinois. So anyway, if you're in Indiana and you see a Three Floyds and you're wondering, is it good? It probably is. Check it out. It's very tasty. I got one right here.
Well, I am not drinking beer tonight because I might work out when we're done, because I usually work out in the afternoon on Sunday, but I couldn't today. So, but what I have planned for later is a Yingling lager, and I like it because it's $1.99 for the tall boy, and I don't know how it's possible, but Yingling is $1.99, and all of their beers here are $1.99. So, you know, it's just a good, it's like super cheap, and
yep.
I grab one every now and then. I'm just kind of amazed at the price. I mean, anybody that's lived in the Middle East, after you've done that for a few years and you come back to the United States and you see the price of beer, it's almost like you can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Yingling is the oldest American brewery.
I think you're right.
I think it is. I could be wrong, but.
And they have a lot. They have like three or four beers down here, like more than I thought. Like it's not all the same. Because like when I was in college, I remember it, but it was always the same, like the same
thing. Yeah.
But no, they've got a lot of good stuff at $1.99.
Yeah.
My wife is Canadian, so if her family visits, we go to the store, and I buy it. They're like, that beer is $2. I'm like, yeah, because in Canada beer is actually pretty expensive, and it's like the price where they live is like controlled by the government. It's kind of like Ohio.
Yeah.
But worse. I don't know, that might not be true. I don't know if anything's worse in Ohio. Anyway,
there's plenty of things worse in Ohio.
We'll have to ask our friend Keith if there is anything worse than Ohio. I'll make a note.
But anyway, we have been talking like the past three or four weeks. We've each have been talking about what we've been drinking. So I decided to just make a little jingle, maybe we'll have it next week. Maybe we won't. But anyway,
what am I drinking?
There we go. What am I drinking? I also still have the.
What's my talking about?
And I got the
boom TNT.
I got those too. I got those. I wanted to have.
Keep adding more.
Oh yeah, I wanted to have clips for this. For Facebook Connect, which happened
because you watched the promo with Mark Zuckerberg?
I did.
Choosing something to wear.
Oh gosh, there's nothing. There was nothing to clip because there's nothing tangible. It's all about this stuff that could be. And oh man, I want to get into it. I got some thoughts about this.
Yeah. We might go so long on this that the rest of the agenda will be destroyed. And if that's the case, we'll just loop back.
We will. Okay, so Facebook is changed to Meta. That's their new company name.
Now, are they going to change? Okay, people have been asking this.
Okay.
Are we going to wake up and Facebook Messenger is going to be Meta Messenger?
It might be. I wasn't very sure. So when you go to Facebook.com, it's still Facebook.com. But if you go to Meta.com, and now, and they had pictures of their headquarters, and they had completely rebranded the whole headquarters to Meta. All of them. Everything was Meta. Everything.
Is that what made their services go down like a couple weeks ago, the rebranding?
It could have been. It really could have been.
I mean, that would do it, right? If you wanted to rebrand everything, all your... It's actually a lot harder than people think. If you're sitting there like, oh, it's really hard.
Yeah.
We have one at my school. We have one podcast that some teachers do, and it is on one website that we, you know, it's on a WordPress that we pay for, and we control the whole process. We control the domains. They wanted to change the name. And then after we went through the whole process, they were like, yeah, we're not changing the name. and that's just one little podcast. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Even just changing, keeping like maybe the domain, but changing like providers, like, oh, we're on Azure now instead of Microsoft. We're on Azure instead of AWS or something. Like, even that is a big deal. That's, you know, because there comes a point where you have to flip that switch. And things can go wrong, as we all know. But anyway, Facebook is now Meta, and the focus of their company is going to be the metaverse, which is... So, Tony, you're very familiar with this concept. So am I.
Okay. So let me just read. I will read from the Book of Knowledge right now. Hold on. I'm going to pull up one more thing.
Yeah, and the Book of Knowledge, for the people who are wondering, is that it's Wikipedia.
Yeah. So this is from 1992. Metaverse is the collective virtual space created by the convergence of virtually enhanced physical reality and physically persistent virtual space, including the sum of all virtual worlds, augmented reality, and the internet.
Yeah.
That is from 1992.
Yep.
That is from a book called Snow Crash by Neal Stephenson, which is a great book.
It is a great book. Yeah. You should read it.
You need to read it, and you should read it twice and be like, everything's coming true that this guy wrote about. But this is what bothers me, that this is clearly just like, what should we call it? Let's call it the metaverse, like in that book. It's a huge billion-dollar company. Come on. Just come up with your own name.
I know.
And just say it was inspired by the book. Like,
yeah.
And I'm also kind of annoyed because I believe I was reading something. Like, Neal Stephenson doesn't care if people use the term metaverse for anything.
Yeah.
He doesn't. So where's the credit?
I know.
Like, why is it Mark Zuckerberg saying, you know, in 1992, I read a book that changed my life, and I've always dreamed of this. That would be honest, because that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I mean, you could even trace it back a little further to William Gibson, but I don't know if that's... But definitely, I think Neal Stephenson's vision is a lot closer to what I think Facebook is pitching.
It looks exactly like they were even in that commercial talking about augmented reality.
Yeah, yep.
Like, and so, I don't know. I was like, this... Yeah, it just bothered me.
And a more modern idea is if you either read the book or saw the movie Ready Player One. That's very much it. But what in Snow Crash, and in Ready Player One, the thing is the metaverse is decentralized. There's not a single company that is controlling it. In fact, Ready Player One, there is a company trying to control it. And they're trying to keep it, they're like battling to keep it free. And in Snow Crash, there's like no way. It's just so big. There's no way. And Facebook is like, we want to be the ones to set the standard. So, but they just, I don't know. It's.
Yeah, in Snow Crash, there are elite programmers who can write code and then everybody can use it and they can put the code into the metaverse.
Yep.
So, yeah, again, there's like a foundational concept and everybody can build on it. And that's kind of like, you know, something Facebook probably could do, but I don't think there's any way they would do it.
Mm-mm. No, no, they want a proprietary everything. You want, and all throughout the thing, they're like, oh, you can buy your own clothes. This is going to open up a whole new marketplace where and companies can. And I was like, this is not what this is for. It's, and my concern is because Facebook is strictly social media, right? And it's just a way for them to deliver ads. But here, the way they're pitching that is that, oh, this is going to be in a completely, this is going to be another reality. You're going to have your reality, you know, you're going to have your home life, you're going to have your work life, and now you're going to have this online virtual life. This is your, yeah. You know, and I'm afraid that they're going to try to push this into education. They definitely will. They're going to. They're going to try, and I'm afraid that there are going to be a lot of teachers that are going to get suckered into this thing. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah, when I was looking at the price of some Oculus headsets for school, and it was like, oh, you know, it's this price if you want to use a Facebook account, and it's this price if you want it to be, you know, completely private.
Yeah,
and I'm like, but the kids don't. You know, we don't really encourage them to have Facebook accounts. And it's like, yeah, but if they all just get a Facebook account, they can use it for free. And you're like, this is creepy. Like, it's the same exact hardware. You're just making it so I can use it privately if I pay more. That just kind of creeped me out. I was like, that's really creepy.
And when we didn't watch it live, but I had a group of kids and I had them for like 45 minutes for like an after school, not an after school. It's like an elective. Anyway, I was like, here, watch this because this is important, right? This is where Facebook is going. This is going to be their next 10 years, probably. This is the direction you're going to, and you guys are going to be in the middle of all this. And as soon as Zuckerberg got on the screen, they just started ragging on him, just yeah. ripping him up. They have no trust. I mean, these are seventh and eighth graders, and they have no trust of Facebook.
I was looking at some stats like a while ago on video games, Patrick, and
yep.
I've had a feeling it's people in our age group who are going to get into this.
I think so, really too. Do. Yep.
Like, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are, you know, around 35 and up. They're going to get into it, not the younger kids.
Yep.
And I don't think that's something people are considering. I think it's something that Facebook is considering, especially for like shopping and everything else. I mean, if you haven't been exposed to VR, it can be like really immersive and it can be cool. And, you know, some people are definitely going to get addicted to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But your question was, will educators get sucked in? Yes.
They will. And here's
they're going to get sucked in. Yep. It's going to be flashy. It's going to look cool.
Yep. They're going to show up to conferences. They're going to be like, hey, sign up for our workshop and we're going to give you a free Oculus headset. We're going to give it to you, a $700 Oculus headset. It's yours for free. Just try it out. Give us a chance. And that's, yeah.
We have seen educators get sucked into a little program called Second Life.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And I pushed back on it really hard and said, this is not a good idea. There are no controls to this. We can't let kids in it. Our network can't support it. Our computers can't support it.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't care about any of that. They didn't care that it would run on the computers. They didn't care that at the time we had this horrific proxy set up that we were required to use and it wouldn't work. And they didn't care that they were like, oh, but there's like a child version of it, like a teen version. And I'm like, yeah, it just asks if you're a teenager or not. It doesn't verify if you're a teenager. And I pushed back, installed it. And do you remember what happened after about a month?
I bet they wanted it gone.
No, the teen version they found was full of people who weren't teenagers trying to basically solicit teenagers, and they had to shut it down.
Oh,
but yeah, no, these people, like, they were bought in hard, and it didn't matter. It's like, yeah, it's cool, but can I just go through this? And they're like, oh, you can program in it. And I'm like, okay, well, show me how you program in it. And I'm like, you don't know how to program anything. So yeah, but it'll be easy. I'm like, no, it will not be easy. And I had used a long time ago, forget what it was called. There was a platform that I used to do some I was working on my master's degree, and I wanted to do some cool stuff as just kind of an example. So I think it was called Virtual Worlds. Anyway, they let me use it for free for like a year for my project. And I could write object-oriented style code. I could use the same kind of code that you used in Flash, similar types of object-based programming where you bring in like an image and you put the code on the image, or you bring in a video and you add like code to it. And it was cool and I really, really liked it, but it wasn't really scalable for the classroom. And I thought, you know, I thought there were some possibilities, but there were a lot of things to work on. And I built in it. I literally built my own little virtual space, programmed all kinds of objects, made it kind of functional, made a little classroom. So if you joined it, objects did certain things. And I built all that out in like 2001 to 2002, a long time ago. And I was like, gave them some feedback. And really, since then, there really hasn't been a massive change. And I do a VR demo. I do a VR demo every year, either in the fall or the spring. I always get back into it and see what the state is. We have some VR at my campus now. A couple of systems there. I mean, it looks fine, but it's the same problem. I mean, you have one VR system, maybe you've got two sets of goggles, you know, like two kids can interact. You've got a class of 14 and you've got four of those classes. So you've got 4 times 14 students and maybe two can use it per class. I mean, it's just, it doesn't scale.
No.
And the other thing too is, and I've noticed this, people get VR systems, but they don't get modeling programs. So how are the kids going to make the model? Like, the kids should be making the objects at least that go into the space. Mm. So like, if you're using 3D, the kids need to model the objects that go into the environment. Even if they can't program them, they at least need to make stuff that goes into it. And I'm always like, okay, what are you guys using for modeling? Oh, we're just using the VR. Yeah. So it's just a video game.
It's an experience.
It's just a video game.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't solve any problems. It doesn't solve any problems of the classroom. And it only introduces new problems. I was really bought into VR. I really thought it was going to be the next, this is it. And I was way wrong.
I don't think you're wrong, but I think it's augmented reality and not virtual reality. So if you want to read a book that will... And we kind of got into this a little bit when we were talking about the AI stuff. I always recommend this one book for everybody who's above the age of 17. There's some, especially in the beginning, there's some pretty rough stuff. But this book is called Daemon by Neil Suarez. Mm. This book outlines a world where augmented reality is used to facilitate a massive revolutionary change. And it is very detailed in how it works. And I believe this guy used to work... He was in the national security space for a while. I forget what department he worked for, so it's kind of creepy, but he's an expert on drones. He's got another book. It's a fiction book, Patrick, on drones, but I don't think it's fiction anyway. and micro drones and micro controlled robots and stuff. But in his book, The Daemon, it is about augmented reality. If it were to be used like fully, like if you decided to use it worldwide, and how it would look and how it would grow. And it makes a lot of sense. And there's a program for elementary school called Clever Books, and it works with iPads. And I don't know if it now works with any kind of headset or not, but it works with iPads.
Clever Books,
and I like
yeah.
Clever Books a lot. And Clever Books lets you put things around the room and lets you use the iPads. And when the kids shoot the iPad at the object, it becomes interactive. And it's very, very cool. So anyway, I think you're right. I just think it's augmented reality, because the other thing with the headsets is like, and I know you can put them on like translucent or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not good. Like, you know, the HoloLens is getting there. Magic Leap has some nice, cool stuff.
Yeah. But the HoloLens, I mean, that's Microsoft. They've refocused. Like they're it's very niche for education. Like they're like medical school. That's where they're focusing at. And then they're the industrial.
Industrial space.
Industrial space, yeah.
Do you think Bill Gates is going to pull like a new version of Encarta out and be like, Encarta for VR. But like the content won't be updated. No. It'll literally be whenever they stopped making Encarta. That'll be it.
Yeah.
But you can do it in VR. Do you think Bill Gates will do that?
I wouldn't doubt it. He'll do it so he can give everybody the 5G virus. That's what it is. It's true.
5G from Encarta.
5G. But anyway, what I thought was so interesting about this Meta thing, obviously they've been planning this for months, maybe even probably years, right? This is
1992 with Mark Zuckerberg.
Stole.
As a lonely child, read Snow Crash.
But recently in the news, the Wall Street Journal has been working with a leaker from Facebook who quit. Her name is, oh gosh, what is her name? Anyway, she's a whistleblower. So she's been leaking information to the Wall Street Journal, and the Wall Street Journal has created their own website called the Facebook Files. You can just Google it. You don't need a subscription. All those articles are not behind. None of those articles are behind a paywall, I believe. I believe they're all open for everybody. And they have 14 articles that they have written about the documents she leaked to them. And Tony, I'm going to sound a little conspiracy theory here, but you just hear me out. Facebook wanted this. I wouldn't even be surprised if they knew she was collecting material and was taking it to the Wall Street Journal. And when Wall Street Journal started writing these articles, I bet they knew exactly who it was. And they don't seem to care because they want to be regulated by the government. They want it so, so very badly. They want it. They even wrote how the government should regulate them. They went in front of Congress with this plan. It's somewhere on their website. How government should regulate Facebook. They're like, here's how you hold us accountable. Here's what you got to do, and here's how you hold other social. They want this so, so very badly. They want this because they will be sitting at the table next to the lawmakers advising them on how to do it. So they'll be in essence writing rules for all of social media in the United States. I think this is exactly what they want.
I disagree with your point. I was listening to some of her, you know, she's kind of making the rounds, and she's in Europe. I can't remember what show she was on, but I was listening to a podcast and they were playing a clip, and she's like, you know, over the course of a year, I you know, copied like 10,000 documents or thousands of documents. And I'm like, who does that?
Yeah, Frances Haugen, Haugen, yeah.
We work at schools. If I wanted to start copying documents, first off, you know, it would be a little, we have like almost no, you know, super advanced security for controlling documents.
Yeah.
I would think Facebook might have better security for certain documents. We have normal like share permissions and stuff. But if I started copying documents and at that rate, people would notice.
Absolutely.
They would notice. They would be like, Is Tony working? It looks like he's copying a lot of documents. Like, and I don't mean on the copier. People would just be like, are you just dragging file? Like, first off, are you going to read them first? Because if you are, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
If you're just going to archive dump them and take them home and read them, the transfer rate would just like event, you know, whoever's watching your network would be like, hey, why are you pulling so much data from the file server?
Yeah. And they are definitely watching. I'm sure that they are watching that stuff.
They would definitely notice.
Yeah.
Like we notice, like just in our Meraki system,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of, you know, paranoid about network stuff. So I check Meraki on a regular basis, and I do a few very simple things every day just to like see what the traffic looks like. And I run a little filter to see who my top on all the Wi-Fi, see, you know, who the top users are for like the last 2 hours and the last day. I would notice if somebody was pulling a ton of documents because it's based kind of on the mean, you know, like your average user, you know how much data they pull every day. So when you see somebody going above that, you're like, okay, it's Monday. Well, why are they above it on Tuesday? Why are they above it on Wednesday? Like, I would notice it, and I'm not even an expert at doing any of this stuff.
Yeah, and for people out there like, no, nobody does that. I came into work on Thursday morning, and I walk in, and my colleague has got like 15 iPads on his desk. I was like, what's going on? He goes, I looked in Meraki, and these things were like eating up gigabytes of data yesterday. And so he goes, I think they were trying to update to iOS 15 and they were having troubles for whatever reason. So I'm just going to manually update all of them. That'll just, you know, but he saw it like right away. He goes, it just sticks out like a sore thumb, you know, 20. Yep. And it's way above any sort of average. We're talking gigabytes.
There's no way they wouldn't notice. They would definitely notice.
Yeah. And because people are like, oh, this is such a black eye for Facebook. Facebook wants the negative press right now because it will hasten government regulation. I think
they got their new name out without spending a dime.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Everybody's going to talk about Meta now. I think they are frustrated with the current administration not taking action because after the whole January 6th thing, I thought that I think in their minds that this is going to be like priority, like first 100 days. Like this is getting done. And it hasn't gone anywhere. Yeah. You know, it hasn't gone anywhere. So, So I think that they want this. They want the government regulations so they can hide behind the laws. They're like, oh, but those are the laws. We're adhering to the laws. You know what? You're right. Those laws aren't good. You should talk to your lawmaker because we can't do anything about that kind of a thing. I don't know. I think they are very, very, very smart. They are very, very, very savvy and aware. Get a bunch
of restrictions put in for social media,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to pivot, and whatever they're doing next isn't going to be classified as that. So it'll prevent competition. There's a lot of ways you could go with.
Oh yeah, their plan was to have because AI, artificial intelligence, doesn't work very well. Surprise, surprise! When it comes to regulating posts and media. It just doesn't catch stuff. And it catches when it does catch stuff, sometimes it catches just things that are totally fine. But and so they're like, you need to have like 20% of your staff has to be just there looking at posts. And if you're a startup, you can't afford that.
No.
But what will Facebook do? Facebook will be like, we have a huge workforce. You can rent our people. We will monitor that for you. It's going to be a whole other business for them. They're very smart, these right. These Facebook people, they're very, very smart. Oh, I'm sorry, these right. Meta people.
Meta. The metaverse. Twitter, would you like to be in our metaverse?
That's it.
That's Apple. How it's going
to
be.
Apple, do you want to be in our metaverse? Here's the standard. You must, here are the standards, you know? I don't know. One kid said, he goes, this looks stupid. There's no way this is going to work. Who's going to do this? And I was like, yeah, you never know. You never know. We'll see. But anyway, that was my Facebook. I don't want to talk any more about it because I just wanted to get it out there. When I tell people that Facebook loves this negative press and they want this negative press, people are like, no, you're an idiot. I'm like, no, really. They want
even if the negative press this. Is simply to spread the name of a new name for their company. So that they don't have to spend any money to do it, it's probably worth it.
For sure. Yes. And this Frances Haugen, she's walking around and she's like, you know, being played out as this hero. And I just wait, there will be something that will come around that will take her down. She's just using, I don't know. I just, there's something behind her. I know there is a lot of money behind her that's helping her leak this stuff and is setting up all of these interviews and things. It's not something she's doing. She has a team of people who are doing this for her, who are helping her do this stuff.
So she went from being like a systems administrator in Facebook to having a team of people coordinating a massive media campaign.
Yes.
It's just not, I agree. Yeah.
Yep.
So I think she's still a Facebook employee.
Yep. Anyway, there you have it.
It's like
that's
that
it.
Movie, The Departed.
Yeah. There you go. That's a fun movie. That's a fun movie to watch for people who like Matt Damon Matt Damon and Mark Wahlberg.
let's do the sales thing last.
Okay.
We can talk about new classrooms.
All right, yeah. Let's talk about your new classroom. How is this going?
Okay, well, so just a quick background. I kind of inherited this project, so I didn't start it. And I'm trying to finish it, which is always difficult. And I inherited it, and it was funded, and the funding plan included certain brands of equipment. So I was further restricted in what I could do.
Yeah.
And there's been a few issues with the construction piece where the rooms were constructed a certain way, and I'm not responsible for a lot of the construction. That's a completely separate department. And people met with the person in charge of construction and made all these recommendations and said, we want this and that. And I wasn't aware of it. And our vendors for IT weren't aware of it, any of it. And so the rooms were built. And then, of course, things were left out. And now there are a few people who are annoyed. And I'm like, you know, I can't rebuild the classroom. Here's my work order I was given. Here's the information we gave to our vendors. We don't have any of the information that you're talking about. So in those cases, we're having to get creative in how we solve the problem because the room doesn't support what they want installed in the room anymore.
Oh,
so that's only a couple rooms, but you know, when you're talking about 22 classrooms, two is a lot. I mean, two is a lot. And
yeah,
two rooms is two teachers with 4 to 5 sections a day. And that's a lot of kids going through there.
Yeah.
Anyway. So overall the rooms are, the general plan is working. And I was holding my breath on this, but it seems to be working. So we have one smart board, the company smart, mounted on the wall. And the design was supposed to have two boards in each room. But the way these classrooms are designed, if you put two boards up, the teachers lose a lot of writing space.
Yeah.
So I was able to get the second board onto the smart, it's called a smart electronic stand. So the board actually can go up really high or down really low, and it's motorized. And so that board can move anywhere in the classroom the teacher wants. And if they don't want it, they can actually roll it into their closet, or we can use it somewhere else in school, which hasn't happened yet, but I think it's going to happen with a couple of people just because I just know they're not going to use a second screen. And in order to get the screens to mirror, so that's one thing that they have to do. They have to be able to mirror. I took a huge risk, Patrick.
Oh.
This is a huge risk because even our vendor said he would purchase it, but he, you know, really couldn't support it. But I tested lots and lots of stuff. And to be honest, I would have preferred to do this with a Barco, but it was a little bit out of the price range.
All right, yeah.
So we went with a BenQ InstaShow.
Oh.
And the way that it works is the portable screen has the InstaShow box on it.
Okay.
And the smart board on the wall has the InstaShow button connected to its HDMI output. So when you hit the button, it mirrors itself. The smart board mirrors itself to the other smart board.
Okay. All right.
So the smart board is just like a Chrome OS computer. And because the InstaShow works with Chrome OS, when you hit the button on the button's just kind of on the side of the smart board.
Yep.
You press it and whatever you're doing shows up. And as long as the button is in video mode instead of presentation mode, everything works. Video streaming works. Everything works.
Nice.
The main issue is getting the buttons to reset every day and time out because we're working. We need the buttons to sleep. And that means the smart boards need to go to sleep and we need to make sure they're shutting the buttons off kind of automatically and waking them up.
Okay.
We've only really had issues in one classroom with that where the button seems to stay perpetually on. But
What's my talking about? What's my talking about here? What are you... So when you say the buttons are on, does that mean it's constantly mirroring? They don't ever turn off?
No, it just means the button needs to. So I was doing experiments with this stuff last year, and the buttons are basically little 5G transmitters. And the longer they're on, the slower they get. They just get hot. They technically have firmware in them. And they have garbage data just builds up inside of them, and they need to be cleared.
Oh,
and once they're cleared, they start at zero. Like they're fine for hours and hours. But in one case, we do have like an issue where we're looking at, and it's kind of the way the teacher uses it. The teacher's really aggressive. They want to mirror like for, you know, many, many hours straight instead of like mirroring for like an hour or two, shutting the button off and waiting for the next class to come in. They're the kind of person that just leaves their stuff connected all day. Yeah. Like leaving it.
I've seen people show up in our office and are like, yeah, this is wrong. I was like, you know, you are still connected to your Apple TV. And they're like, oh, I haven't had a class this afternoon. It's like 3 p.m. And I was like, let's go ahead and disconnect you there.
So that piece is working. And then there's a few other kind of levels. So you've got kind of like level one where you just connect your computer to the screen, and you can use AirPlay to do that. So you're wireless. And then if you want to mirror, this is level two, you hit the button and it mirrors. So you're AirPlay and then mirroring. Level three is where you want two completely independent displays that you're controlling with your laptop.
Okay.
And you actually can do that by using the BenQ button on your laptop, and you can actually AirPlay to one screen and BenQ to the other one at the same time.
Oh, that is sweet. I didn't know that was even possible.
Yes. So you can do that. So that is what I call like the dual protocol transmission. And that's what it is. I'm using two different types of signals and the computer is controlling them.
Oh.
And it works pretty well, and it's really stable. So you can have your laptop screen and then you AirPlay to one screen. And then when you want to engage the other screen, you hit the button and your Apple detects both screens. So you can extend it or whatever you want. You can control the content. It's pretty good. It can get really confusing though. There's not too many people who want to do that. Most people just want to connect a mirror. But another model kind of arose all on its own. So we put the screens up, and then I gave the teachers some like basic instructions and said, look, here's an HDMI cable. If you know, you can just plug this in and then we'll come around and do training. And so you can either AirPlay or HDMI, just keep it the way it was before. Like you had a projector with a Apple TV on it. So just, this is basically the same thing. And they understood that. But some of the teachers realized that the screens were, you know, they're Chrome OS, they're like Android. So
yeah,
they just decided to not use their laptops at all. And they authenticated into their Google on both screens. They make one teacher pulls his ebook up that he's his first class on one screen. And on the other screen, he just logs into his Google Slides. He's not even using his laptop.
Sweet. And yeah.
There's actually more teachers doing that than I thought. And they like it because they're like, yeah, I just go in, I set the screens up. I don't have to connect my laptop at all. My laptop's private. I've got everything in my cloud. My cloud's linked on the board. I just go up to the board and touch it. And, you know, the ebook idea is really great because you've got your ebook, massive display, but you've got your notes and your presentation, massive display, but you don't have to manage it with your laptop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's, you can move the screen. The second screen can be moved close to the other one. So you can just literally walk back and forth. Like it's not hard. And I thought it might be annoying, but they're like, no, you know, I kind of lecture on the point, go through the activity in the ebook. It's not like they're switching pages every 5 minutes. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So there's been quite a bit of uptake with that model. Where the teachers are just using the boards and not even using their laptops.
Man, that deserves a...
boom! TNT!
Right there. That's what that deserves. That's awesome, man.
But it's still early days because this model like could break. Like, you know, I told you.
Yeah.
These BenQs, like we're using them two different ways. One board to board and one computer to board. Computer to board is very stable. Board to board is like... it's not going to work. It won't work at all. And we did have to change some smart board settings to make it work, but it does work.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm more optimistic about it. There's more tools in the toolbox actually than even what I've mentioned. So we're just kind of working through all the options and, Well, yeah, I'll see where we're at like in January, because I've also slowed people down and I'm like, there's no pressure for you to do anything with this technology. The only pressure is coming from you. There's no pressure from me. There's no pressure from your principal. Let's work slowly. It's like these teachers are planning on being at the school for like 10 years. So I'm like, you're going to be here a long time, right? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, well,
we got time.
We don't have to solve all the problems this week.
Yeah. Yeah, you just do what you're doing and find a way to incorporate this at your own pace when you're feeling comfortable. Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that's good.
So we'll see. We'll see.
We will. Okay. All right. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's a...
Boom! TNT!
Yeah, that's what that is. That's what that is. I don't know. Do you want to get into the sales, or do we want to save that for episode 194 next week?
Maybe we can save it. Just remember, everybody, salespeople don't care.
They don't. They don't
at all.
I don't care how nice they are. They don't care.
People are like, yeah, they're really sincere and they want to sell us this, and I'm like, they're not sincere. No. They just want to make they're working on commission. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And you know what I've done, Tony, and maybe you've done it before. I've called people because I just need to get more quotes. I need something to quote. And I know, I was like, this company, they're going to be way too expensive. And I know this, but I need to take it to the business office to just to kind of show what else is out there. Like, yeah, this is $10,000 more than this person, and they're accomplishing the same goal, kind of a thing. So,
yeah, just remember, salespeople they're just not your friends. Like, you can have a good relationship with them, but your goal has always got to be to get the best deal for your institution.
Yep.
And if you don't feel like you can do that, if you don't feel like you can negotiate, find someone who can.
Yep. Or if you feel obligated that you have to go with them because, oh man, they gave me this free equipment, or man, they took me to lunch. They were so nice. We didn't talk about business at all. We just sat there and no, don't fall for that. That is a tactic. That's what that is.
Yeah. And some of them are really good at it. I mean, I'm aware of it, and it sometimes I have to take a step back and be like,
yeah,
is this person evil? Are they evil?
Anyway, we'll get more into that next week though. So I think that's it. I think it was a good show. It was a good show.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And I hope everybody goes out and reads The Damon. It's time. Read it. Read it, and then look around and be like, coming?
I'm finishing up Dune. I'm rereading.
I can tell you what happens right now.
Oh, I know. This is my third time.
Finishing up Dune.
This is my third time. I'm finishing it up. So I'll get into it. I looked it up. I did look up the book. It's 600 pages. It's a substantial book. It's a substantial read there. I don't know what you like these long books, Tony, like the Necromonica, or was that the Necromancer?
The Cryptonomica.
The Cryptonomica. That thing is like 1,000 pages.
Yeah, it's a really good book. And I'm getting into it. I think I'm getting into another Stevenson book soon. But yeah, it's deep.
All right. Well, might be on my reading. When I start it, I will let you know. But anyway, for IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And we will catch you on the next episode. Check us out at www.itbabble.com and keep on babbling.